Those of you that haven't met me before, maybe you already heard through the grapevine, maybe you haven't, but I have a real passion regarding what it is we teach. And I also have a real passion when it comes to honoring, embracing, and cultivating an appreciation for the sublime nature of the knowledge of life and the structure of life. And the barriers that prevent us, I want to say as a species, you know, as human beings, the barriers that prevent us from recognizing the subtle distinctions between what I would call pure knowledge versus what it is we think we already know about the knowledge. They talk about spiritual growth and personal growth as just moving through the eye of the needle. There's a reason for that. There's a subtlety to it. There's a sublime value to the depth of knowledge of the mechanic of life and existence. And so we're going to spend some time looking at how we get in our own way and how we end up compromising our ability to perceive and understand that sublime value. And that subtle difference makes all the difference. And so we're going to work with that. At the depth of every individual's being, we're all already wise. We all already know everything. And I think sometimes that if our relationship with that isn't clear, sometimes that actually becomes a source of frustration for us. Because we feel down inside that we're wise, that we have knowledge, that we have insight. But when we go about attempting to manifest it on the surface of our life, somehow things don't quite work. There seems to be a sort of a lack of coordination between those two things. So wisdom is something you already have. Nobody can give you wisdom. But what our growth is about as a species, our evolution as a species, speaking even biologically or anthropologically as a species, what our growth and evolution is about is creating a coordination, an integration, a harmonization between what our life is like on the surface and how well it harmonizes with or integrates with that place inside where we're already wise. That's what it's really all about. But it's the subtlety of the meaning even of those words as well, you see, that is easily lost. What does that really mean? What does that really look like? Well, probably, every single person in this room, we can even leave off the probably. I would say every single person in this room has some sense, some feeling, some beliefs around what that looks like. When I am wise and when I'm living wisdom on the surface of my life, I'm going to be like this. There are going to be certain attributes that I'm going to have. Right? Anybody not have any feelings or any convictions around that at all? No. I call those convictions preconceived notions. I call them your identity. And speaking now as a species about human beings and the way we function, is we create an identity. We get a set of preconceived notions about what we think we're supposed to look like to be wise or to be happy, to be fulfilled, to be together. And then our attempts to attain that are about conforming to those preconceived notions. Seems innocent enough, doesn't it? Doesn't it? But can you see the setup in that? There's a setup there. Who's the one with the preconceived notions? The one with the preconceived notions is the person that isn't living that already. So the preconceived notions are based upon what? They're based upon who you are now. They're based upon your idealized notions, your identities, your conditioning. And not the place in the depth of your being that is free of that conditioning. Does that make sense? Becomes a pretty sticky wicket. How do you do it then? How do I go about attaining wisdom? As an organism, we have been indoctrinated through the eons to fathom life, to understand who it is that we are, by finding a conditioning that we can align with that will do it for us. It's our habit. And it's not a habit we created 10 years ago. It's the state of the species. So if we want to truly become wise, what we really need to do is evolve not what we think, but how we think. The very modality of our function as a species needs to change. Now, when I teach, it's not uncommon, and those of you that have worked with me a lot, please don't laugh right now. Or you can if you want. But it's not uncommon for students to become a little bit frustrated. Because I won't give you a conditioning to hang on to. But it's the way we have learned to learn throughout the eons. And I'm not going to do that. You're not going to have anything that you can hang on to at the end of these talks and say, oh, great. Now Michael taught me how to be wise. All I got to do is hang on to these and I'll be wise. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. some of you may end up frustrated and say, well, gosh, I'm just going to go to somebody who can give me an overlay. I'm going to go to somebody who can give me a step one, step two. I'm going to go to somebody who can tell me, well, here's technique A and there's technique B, and get really good at technique A and technique B, and then you're wise, or then you're a healer, or then you're a lawyer, or then you're a physician. But I think you can see from what I've said here the futility of that when it comes to really growing and evolving as a human being. Even if we look at the arena of psychotherapy, ultimately that's what happens in the arena of psychotherapy. Well, this is the way you've been thinking, and you have this issue about authority figures, or this issue about men, or this issue about women. And so what we're going to do is we're going to get you to stop thinking that way, and now start thinking this way. And then you'll be self-improved. Then you'll be psychologically healthy. It's another conditioning. Conditioning isn't going to get you there. It's not going to get you where you want to go. Our spiritual growth turns out to be the same thing. Well, if I'm going to be spiritual, then I am going to fill in your own blank. For some of us, it's kind of walk, twinkle, toad, and maybe flicker our eyelashes just a little bit. Now I'm love and light, and now I'm spiritual. Fill in your own blank. So the point is that this conditioning and this notion of conditioning as being something that as human beings we are hypnotized by, blinded by, indoctrinated into to the point where we can't even see past it, it's no small thing. And it's just not in one little arena, but it permeates all of life. How you want to evolve psychologically, how you want to grow spiritually, how you want to become an intelligent person, how you want to become a wise person. Saying wise things does not make you a wise person. Does that make sense? Saying wise things does not make you a wise person. You can teach a monkey to say wise things if you can get him to talk. Spit it right back. It's an automaton, a machine. You can type wise phrases into your computer and call that up, and all these wise phrases come out of your computer. Doesn't mean your computer's wise. No, it's just been programmed. We're talking about something fundamentally different. Something fundamentally different. So we want to look a little bit closer, I think, at this relationship between that place that dwells at the depth of your being, that's eternally wise, and the surface of your life. We want to look at the coordination between those two things, how they work together. As a species, through conditioning, what we do is try to program this surface of our life to function a certain way. It's not coming from the depth. It's coming from an overlay. So all that really does is stifle the possibility of any harmonization. This thing becomes fixed, and oh, this is what's going to make me wise. Yet you have this other dynamic line at the depth of your being that really has nothing to do with that overlay, so it kind of gums up the works. Sooner or later, what happens? That identity stops working. And we all, well, what are some examples of identities? First one is our parents. We all get indoctrinated into a conditioning through our parents initially, right? Mom and dad say, think this way, function that way, then you're a good little boy or a good little girl, so you try it out. You don't know, you're just some kid, and if you do it, you get love, and so, oh, great. All I want really is love anyway, so fine. I'll buy into mommy and daddy's conditioning. Sooner or later, you see past it. My God, when I was a little kid, I thought mom and dad were God and the goddess. Now I'm realizing that there's some holes in their buckets, maybe. So you try to find something else to align with. And maybe as an adult, you have your other set of identities. Well, I'm really going to have it together in my life when I've got a spouse and three kids and a dog, a cat, a nice car, and a nice house. So you go about going after that. You can spend a long time white-knuckling onto a conditioning, can't you? And then eventually you end up with the spouse, the car, the house, the dog, the cat, the kids. And one Sunday afternoon, you walk into the master bedroom, sit down on the bed, look around and say, oh my God, I'm not happy. Is this all there is to it? So you start what? Looking for another conditioning. Maybe you go to the self-help section at Barnes & Noble and see a book there that says, 10 Steps to a Better You. What is that? 10 identities, 10 things to white-knuckle onto. 10 conditionings. Here's the new trip, the new identity. And so you try to align with that book for as long as you may. That's the human predicament. That's the nature of our species. That's how our organism functions. Now, it may sound like I'm just saying what it is we're doing wrong, and so, okay, now, Michael, what do we do? Know that this is a big part of the doing. If you can really take a step back and look at your own life and how you do that, how you function, how the limitations that are imposed upon human beings have been imposed upon you. Then you take a huge step forward in freeing yourself from those conditionings and freeing yourself from the hamster wheel of running from one conditioning to the next, looking for that ice cream cone in the sky conditioning that's going to get you there. You see? Remember I talked about how subtle and sublime the mechanic and nature of life is? Ready for the next level of subtlety? It doesn't really matter what conditioning or what identity you function through on the surface of your life. It doesn't matter. Self-improvement is not about taking an apple and turning it into an orange on the surface. It's not about saying, oh my God, I have this identity, I got to get rid of it, and I'll find this other. Or you're going to have some identity. On the surface of your life, you're going to be doing some kind of dance. Everybody's got to be someplace. Some of us will lean in the direction of intellectualism. On the personality level of our life, we may just think Mr. Spock from Star Trek is it. Others of us may tend to be more emotionally inclined. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What does matter is the health or lack of health that exists in your relationship with that identity. I think it was Ramakrishna that used to say, the trick is to have the boat in the water, but not have the water in the boat. You still function in life. You still have your personality. It doesn't matter. The way one saint in India used to say it, if you don't like your personality, you better change it now, because after you're enlightened, you won't care. So whatever you are like on the surface of your life, whatever identity, whatever conditioning, whatever habits, they only cease to be healthy when your relationship with them is so frozen, so identified, so white-knuckled that it gums up the works of the coordination between that place inside where you're already wise and the surface of your life. And as a species, I think as a species, I have to say that we have little comprehension of the degree of flexibility of nature. The spectrum of personality types that our divinity can function through, that our that place of wisdom can integrate with. And because we're so conditioned based on the surface, what do? We look out at other people and ourselves, and we aren't really capable of saying, well, how aligned are they? How harmonious are they living with that place of wisdom inside? We say, how well integrated is that personality level aligned with my identity of what it is I think they're supposed to be like to be living in their wisdom? And then we do it to ourselves, too. That's called the human condition. Or maybe I should say that's called the human conditioning. Same thing. Hearing that is a big part of healing that. It's taking a step back and giving some space around those places inside of us that have been frozen. Any questions? So, could you get to the mic, Mara?